And this gets back again to the applications in the belt system. Economics. You have copper wire running, connecting you to the central office and one central office to another. Okay, now the copper wire you'd like to use as efficiently as possible. Mm-hmm. You'd like to have more than one phone conversation over a single pair of wires. Okay, so multiplexing was very key. And the early multiplexing in the physical plant was all analog. It was all carrier. Mind you, modulate something up to 60 to 108 kilohertz, mm-hmm. 48 kilohertz bandwidth. So, boy, that was 12, 4 kilohertz channels. So, you had to have all this sort of the modulators and then all the band filters. Okay, to do that. Now, and they would use those carrier systems in the inner office trunks, the wires that connected one central office to another. Then, when the digital stuff started coming on, they said, geez, let's take those signals instead of frequency division multiplexing, let's time division multiplexing. And then what we'll do there is to take and convert the signal to digital to PCM, pulse code modulation. So now that the sample is at 8 kilohertz, and then 8 bits per sample, so it's 64 kilobits. So that per second. So that's the rate. But you know, we can get 1.5 megabits going down this copper wire. Well, so we can build time division those 64 kilobit things into 1.5 megabit. Mm-hmm. We get 24 channels on that single wire. So the repeaters that go on there, they have to put about every mile. Because you take a 3/4 or a 2/3 of a microsecond pulse, which is 1.5 megabit thing, and it starts out as 2/3 of a microsecond wide, but after a mile, it's like 20 microseconds long. It's, you know, with a dispersion. So the repeaters then will have to take and gather the energy back in. Say, was there a pulse here or at this time, or was there not? And one of the fellows that designed those repeaters, I think, was Johnny Mayo, when he was a member of technical staff and at the beginning of the department head, and he mentioned he was the president of the laboratory. Mm-hmm. But that was where Johnny, one of the things that Johnny had done, and it really made a name for himself. Because whenever anybody says Johnny Mayo, I just think of, you know, the repeaters and the design he did on those amplifiers there and the filters. Mm-hmm. That was Johnny. This came the digital stuff here on the inner office trunk that came a little bit ahead of the digital filter stuff. See, the thing is, once you go digital somewhere in the system, mm-hmm. then you say, well, geez, I can do all a lot of this other stuff digitally now. Mm-hmm. Okay, or you look at some of the complex pieces of equipment that sit in the central office, like the touch node detector. The little box in there that sits and decides from the pair of tones that get generated when you press any of the buttons on your touch tone set. So when you press a button, you know how that works, Janet? Yeah, you look at your array of 3x4 of buttons and really look at it as rows and columns. Associated with each column is a frequency, associated with each row is another frequency. So when you press a button on there, it generates two tones simultaneously, the row frequency and the column frequency. So you put it on the other hand, has to listen to these pair of tones that are coming, and decide right off, you know, which tones they are, and that says which button is pushed. So our actual first hardware implementation, that was the example that we used. We showed that we could do, in this multiplex filter hardware, the touch tone receiver. Mm-hmm. Okay. In fact, you see that touch tone receiver was about 50 second equivalent of about, I think, about 50 second order sections. It took to do all that. Because there were eight or four row frequencies, four column frequencies. the band pass filter would reach second order, and then you had some band separation filters, and then you had some low pass filters. And so by the time you put it together, it's like 50 sections of stuff. We did it all in one multiplex second order section.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a very good example of the multiplex. Beautiful example of it. Sort of be the first, and that was all done in serial order.
Well, you,
yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you said before that some of your first implementations, it seemed like an odd trade-off. You actually upped the number, the complexity of the equipment or the number of components, and that's understandable, you know, when you're venturing out into a new approach. And is there a story about how it eventually achieved parity, or you know, became more simple?
If there is a story, that Hank would be able to tell you that story in much more detail.
Mm-hmm.
But here, you start to get into problems, or not necessarily problems, but considerations about manpower, the education problem. That you'll take the department head or the director that's responsible, and be responsible for the next generation of multiplexing equipment. And he's got to work with his designers. If his designers don't know the new technology, he's got a schedule to meet, and he's got a budget to meet, and he's going to go with the technology that's going to enable him to meet his budget on schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that was the thing that even within the Bell system, he really are being able to get the digitals, some of the digital stuff in sooner. Right. And you know, of course, you always have them if there are personality problems, you know, curve problems, these kind of things come in. But this is one of the things that kind of got me. I was shielded from those problems. And in the research area, I think the real good managers of research are the ones that get key people and keep the wolves away from the door. And let those key people just work and think as broadly and work as broadly and as possible. So I was shielded from that. So, you know, I said I went to Bell Labs, the real world. It wasn't the real world.
Mm-hmm.
It was a harmless world. Okay. And wow, marvelous that you've done that. Because it was, we didn't have some of the petty stuff that came. We could really work, we interacted a lot with our colleagues. What you see is that when management gets in and worries tremendously about budget and about, you know, having things done within your own department, it tends to cut off communication with your other colleagues. And that's not good. You've got to have a very much an open thing. And that's what was so marvelous about laboratories.